Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll look at a new chapter which is titled Lack, Increase, and Differences in the Quran. As we all know by now, Muslims always repeat their lies. That is, when they claim that the Quran has always been the same in the Arabic language. There is no one word that is different between one Quran and another in the last 1400 years. Now, in our study, we're going to look at that claim and expose it with the truth of what we really know about the Quran. One of the evidence that we do have that there was an increase in the Quran is the following. Muhammad, son of Sirin, stated that Akrama said that after the pledge was given to Abu Bakr, that means Abu Bakr now became the first successor after Muhammad for the Muslim people. Ali ibn Abi Talib stayed at home. He did not go to congratulate Abu Bakr for his position. So it was said to Abu Bakr that Ali hated you for being the new successor after Muhammad. So Abu Bakr asked Ali, "Do you resent me as the successor?" He said, "No, I swear to Allah." So Abu Bakr asked, "So why did you stay home? Why did you not come to congratulate me?" Ali ibn Abi Talib said, "I saw the book of Allah increase in it. So I told myself that I will not wear my clothes except for the prayer until I collect the Quran." So Abu Bakr said to him, "Well, what you have done." Then Muhammad, son of Sirin, said that he said to Akrama, "Make the Quran as it was descended the first time." He said, "If the human and the jinn gather together to make this project, it will be impossible." That statement speaks very clearly that the Quran, which we have in our hand today, is not the same as the Quran which was sent down on Muhammad. But the successors, one after another, worked so hard to put the Quran in the same condition as it was sent by Allah to Muhammad the first time. Another proof that there was a change to the Quran is what is written by Ibn Ashta in the Quran from another description, as he stated that Ibn Sirin wrote in his Quran the abrogated verses of the Quran. And son of Sirin said, "So I searched for that book and I wrote to the city of Medina, but I was not able to get it," which means that there were more than one Quran at that time. And even though he searched for the other Quran, the one which has the abrogated verses, but he could not find it. And from the evidence that many of the verses of the Quran were lost, what Ibn Dawood wrote in the good way, that Omar asked about a verse in the Quran. So it was said to him, it was with so and so, and he was killed in the day of Yamama. That is a battle where many of those who memorized the Quran were killed. So Omar said, "To Allah, we will all return." A statement which always said when somebody dies or something is lost. And that's when Omar gave the command that the Quran to be collected in one book. So he was the first one who put the Quran in a book form. The great scholar Al-Sayuti stated that Omar was the first man who recommended to put the Quran in a book form. And we here must say that losing portions from the Quran is a very genuine, natural thing, because from what the Muslim collected the Quran is an amazing thing. It was written on the leaves of the palm tree, bones, animal skins, pieces of frogs, and also in the chest of men. and it was not written together in a book or a scroll as many of the prophets of God did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Some of those who objected the writing of Moses, which was written on stone tablets, but the writers of the book we're using here made the statement, this is better to keep the words of God from being lost, and that it may be before their eyes, he meant the Jewish people, to read it and to make copies from it. And don't forget, if this is how Moses wrote the words of God, well, guess what? He learned it from the Egyptian, as he was educated in the best Egyptian schools for the first 40 years before he left Egypt and went to Midian. The history of Egypt has been kept for over 4,000 years because the history of Egypt was chiseled on stones for all these 4,000 years. Another important fact about the lost, the increase, and the differences in the Quran is what we mentioned in our last broadcast, that it was said that the four people whom Muslims claim that they gathered the Quran together and wrote the Quran in a book form, all of them were dead before the Quran was put together. And another time they said that Zayd ibn Thabit is the one who collected the Quran. Another time they said Ali is the one who wrote the Quran. And another time it was said that the first one who put the Quran in a book form was in the Quran of Salim, the friend of Abi Huzaifa, the man who made an oath that he will not wear his clothes until he collects the Quran. So he collected. Then Muslim scholars disagreed about what they should name the book. Some said, we will call the Quran Al-Sifr, which means the book. But they objected that because they said that is how the Jewish people name their holy books. So they hated that. So someone said, I saw a book like it in the country of Ethiopia, which they called Al-Mushaf. So they all agreed that they will call the Quran Al-Mushaf. This is a short summary concerning the history of the Quran throughout the life of Abu Bakr, the first Muslim successor of Muhammad, and Umar, who was the second Muslim successor. And from that summary, we know that the Quran was not put together in a book form, as we will be proving in the following four facts. The first fact is that the Quran was not put together as a book during the life of the first two successors of Muhammad, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab. The second fact is that the differences between the Quran, which was written by Khalifa Osman ibn Affan, and the other early Qurans, which he burned. The third fact, that the order in which the Quran was put together was by man's effort, and there were differences in their order. As for the fourth fact, to prove that the Quran was not put together, as Muslims claim, in one book in the days of Muhammad, is that there were different Qurans in the lifetime of Muhammad himself. So now let us examine these facts one at a time. The first fact, to prove that the Quran was never put in a book form during the life of Muhammad or according to his direction, as Muslims claim, is that there was not one Quran fully put together during the lifetime of the first two successors. These are Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab. As we read from the writing of Ashta, that the Quran with a correct hadith given by Muhammad ibn Sirin said that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq died and the Quran was not put together in a book. And Umar was killed and the Quran was still not written in a book form. Ibn Ashta said that some of them meant that they did not recite the entire Quran from memory. And others said that statement was written concerning the gathering of the books of the Quran. And that is what is written in Itqan 90, part 1. And that is the accurate opinion, because Muslims could not memorize the entire Quran because the Quran did not exist. How can you memorize something which you don't have? And it was taken from the saying of such scholars that every group among Muslims has his own Quran. Some Qurans contain the verses which were abrogated and the new verses which Allah used to abrogate the abrogated verses. Some of these Qurans were organized in the order of how Muhammad used to receive such revelation. And if there were not too many different Qurans, why did Osman ibn Affan, the third successor, give the order for all these Qurans to be burned?
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
And that is what we learn about the second fact about evidence that the Quran was never put in a book form, which is that Osman ibn Affan, the third successor, gave an order to burn all these different Qurans. As we read, when Huzayfa saw that the differences in the readings of the Quran by the people forced the successor, Osman ibn Affan, to come up with the solution to end that problem. So he ordered some of them to collect the Quran and burn all other Qurans. Bukhari stated that Anas said that Huzayfa, son of Al-Yaman, came to Osman and he was invading the Levant as they were invading Armenia and Azerbaijan with the people of Iraq. So Huzayfa was shocked to see the different readings in their Qurans. So he said to Osman ibn Affan, and I quote, "Reconcile the Muslims before they will disagree as the Jews and the Christians disagree among each other," end quotation. So Osman ibn Affan sent to Hafsa and he asked her to send the pages of the Quran which she had that he may make a copy of it and he will return it back to her. So Hafsa sent her pages of her Quran to Osman, who ordered that copies be made from it. And Osman said to the three people of Quraysh, "If you disagree with Zayd ibn Thabit in anything of the Quran, so write it with the tongue of Quraysh," because the Quran was descended in their tongue. So they did that until they finished putting the Quran in one book. Then Osman ibn Affan returned the pages of the Quran to Hafs, and he sent to different places a copy of the Quran which he made, and he gave an order that any other Quran besides his copy of the Quran must be burned. Zayd ibn Thabit said, "I forgot a verse from the book of the Parties, which is Quran chapter 33, when I made the Quran, for I used to hear the Messenger of Allah read by it." So they searched for it and they found it with a man by the name Khuzaymah son of Thabit al-Ansari. And this is the verse which we read in Quran chapter 33, the parties, and verse 23. And I quote, among the believing men are those who are true to the covenant they made with Allah. So some have died, and some of them are still waiting, and they did not change. Wow, what a great verse. I'm glad that Zayd ibn Thabit found that very important verse, when in reality, if you read that chapter with or without verse 23, that verse will not add any information whatsoever. So it's not really a very important verse. But in any way, we continue to read that Ashta also stated that Job stated that Abi Qilabah said, a man from the children of Amr spoke to me, whose name is Anas ibn Malik. He said that they disagree on the Quran during the lifetime of Khalifa Osman, that is the third successor, the one who burned the original Qurans after he made his own copy of the Quran, until the young educated men were fighting with each other. So when Osman heard that, he said, you lied to me about the Quran and you maledize it, which means they put the verses they lied about and inserted in the Quran into the style of reciting in melody form. Khalifa Osman continued to say, whoever distanced himself from me was a severe liar or has the most maladies. Osman continued, come to me, O companion of Muhammad, so we will write to the people a guide. So they gathered, so they wrote. So when they disagreed concerning the verses of the Quran, they said, this verse was read by the messenger of Allah to so-and-so. So they were sent to that person, three men from the city of Medina. So they were said to him, how the messenger of Allah read that verse to you? So he would say, he read it to me this way, so they would write it down as they continued to correct the verses of the Quran. And this reminds me of a true story habit in my life. Years ago, I met with a gentleman, I believe, who was an engineer. He was in his 30s, just after September 11, who spoke very highly of Islam and the Quran. And I discovered that he does not speak any Arabic. So I made up a sentence in the Arabic language, and I put it in the same poetry form of the Quran, and I recited to him out loud. The gentleman have a wife from the country of Tunisia who speak Arabic very well. As he heard what I said, he said to me with a huge smile on his face, can't you see how beautiful the Quran is? His wife was very embarrassed because obviously she knew exactly what I said. What I said was, إني أكرهك بشدة إني أريدك قتلا وأرغب في ذبحك وشرب دماؤك, which means in the English language, I hate you so much, I want you dead, I would love to behead you and drink your blood. That gentleman, who is a smart, educated man, just became a Muslim because he fell in love with the poetry and with the melody of the Quran. And when I recite to him that sentences, which I made up, which teach nothing but hate, he was so proud of it, claiming to be so beautiful, as he knows the Quran to be very beautiful. This is exactly what happened during the life of Osman, the third successor, at the early days of Islam. He knows that the Arab will make melody of words and will claim that these words are in the Quran, as long as it carries the same melody of the rest of the Quran. And Osman was not a scholar of Islam, and the proof of that he declared that people can make up Quran by simply making it in the same poetry style of the Quran. In conclusion, from the previous sayings of Muslim scholars, we can come to the following information. Osman saw that division is about to take place among the Muslims, which could lead to sedition and civil war because of the differences people had in the Qurans. Osman ibn Affan gathered the people to make a new copy, a guidance to the people. And that is because neither Osman ibn Affan nor the Muslims in his days knew the true prophets of God, the ones who wrote by their own pens their books to the followers, the Jews and the Christians. As God inspired them, they were writing it by their own hands. Or sometimes they dictated their word of God to someone else in front of them on the spot, and they were able to put the word of God in a book form. The true prophets of God and the true writers of the Bible were encouraging the people to read these books and share it with their children and their grandchildren. And they also share it with other believers all over the Jewish nation and all over the church. The prophets and the true apostles of God encourage the people to make the word of God as a law for their lives, for their kings. Not one book of the Bible was written in the manner of the Quran, when in reality we know that many of the people who memorized some portion of the Quran were dead, which means many of the verses of the Quran vanished. In the New Testament, we do have 27 books, and in the Old Testament, there were 39 books. Ezra in the Old Testament, John the Beloved, who wrote the last book in the New Testament, were both noble men who were filled with the Spirit of God to know that the books they have in their hands were inspired by the Spirit of God. That's why the Holy Bible, with its 66 books, are infallible without any error. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.